Previously on Cartoons That Curse.
What the f*** is up, everybody? Welcome to Cartoons That Curse, the podcast. We liked Encanto, just to put it to rest. We liked Encanto.
We did.
All of a sudden, they're just f***ing swearing with bleeps the whole season. all right, it's a real cartoon that curses now.
I've been watching them for years. It's always been something that fit with all the animated characters that's doing their own bits. With a fry who's in the future and a family guy that sucks. With a father from a hill, a burger family runs amok. The show of spies is the same guy, except he totally say f***. End of verse.
Let's watch cartoons that curse.
We really had a lot to say about this one. All right, we're at 407 curses. We're at the one that was made for this episode, even though I don't have that many notes about it. I mostly have notes about cursing. My first note is thousands of porn. When they're talking about in the weird science movie that they make, is like they were downloading with thousands of porn.
Did you say that on purpose?
What? That you is weird it? Science?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm going to say, that was my note. I'm like, it's just fucking weird science.
Yeah, it is. It's just weird science.
Which, have you seen Weird Science?
I saw Weird Science when I was like a kid, when I was like pretty young. And so like, I haven't seen it as an adult. And I remember thinking it was funny as a kid. But I have a feeling, I have a feeling that movie has got a lot of problems.
Bro, I watched Weird Science for the first time, like as soon as the pandemic started, bro. Like it was
no
like
way.
ASAP. Like, and I watched it with like my best friend. I watched it with her family. And I was just watching. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that shit is... Yo, Weird Science is sick, fam. That's a sick-ass movie. I recognized it immediately. I was like, they're just doing weird science.
Yeah. The thing that I think really holds up in Weird Science that I still love is the soundtrack is all Oingo Boingo. Like, the Weird Science song is Oingo Boingo, which is Danny Elfman's band. That band is so weird, but they're so good and they got such a funny vibe. The whole Weird Science theme song is Oingo Boingo, and the Weird Science theme song rules. The Weird Science. Yeah. It's great. Good stuff. One of my notes here is lots of cursing this season. And then I love Walter and Perry cursing. I think Walter and Perry cursing is really funny.
It is really funny.
Yeah.
Eric's in this one. Only
Eric's
episode
in this
of the season.
One. Wait, is this really the only one?
It took me to half an hour after I watched the finale to go, wait, Eric's not even in the finale.
Yeah. It took me until after the whole season to be like, oh my God, Andrew and Linda weren't in the whole season. they just abandoned that storyline. It's interesting. They made some interesting choices
and Eric spends most of this episode with his fucking tongue down this chick's throat. You know what I mean? Like
That's right. Yeah. It was
begging
funny. That was kind of a funny premise for them. Yeah, for them to do with like McGurk and Eric like trying to pick up women in class.
That whole sequence of McGurk trying to pick up the journal woman and then just getting left. It was like drawn out as fuck. And then he just looks over at Eric and they're like, they've
fucking
been to town.
Tonguing it.
They've been to the Capitol. Like, it's like,
it's so crazy.
It's nuts.
That shit is so fucking bizarre. Eric is like, he's like a new breed in this one.
McGurk's writing his fucking name in a journal and Eric is going to town already. Like, it's not even a contest.
Well, one of the things I pointed out about the episode is that, like, McGurk sort of genuinely tries with the journal stuff. Once he realizes that, like, nobody's, like, fucking with him, he, like, I might as well try. And then, like, he, like, rents, like, equipment and, like, tries to do this whole thing. And, like, he sucks. But, like... I felt bad that he sucked because it felt like he was like genuinely trying.
He was being genuine. Yeah, he was actually being genuine for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's a
journey
good point.
To the center of McGirth.
I love. I like. I thought the fun though of Journey to the Center of McGurk was funny. When he said that, I was like, ha. I was like, just the one, like, ha.
I want to mention this before either of y'all get to it because it's fucking good. There's a point where McGurk and Brendan talk about the movie that he has to recut because there's so much swearing in it, and all the parents get angry. And then make him change it. Where McGurk makes a suggestion to Brendan about how they cut movies, and at the tail end, like the last 5 seconds,
so funny.
It's so good.
It's so funny.
I don't even want to fucking say it. It's so good.
It's so funny. You know what's up, right, Johnny?
No, wait, no, I missed
the fucking when he when they're like, it's like Brendan, McGurk, and Eric, I think, outside talking.
I think so.
Because the movie's playing in the house, like all the parents are watching the movie and they're outside and they're talking. And then there's like this loud reaction. And then I'm like, what's going on in there? He's like, they're watching a movie. It was kind of ass, so I just threw in like a clip of two dogs fucking. And McGurk was like, oh, the footage I gave you. And then Eric says, just two?
Just two?
Which is so fucking.
And then they spliced in like two frames of dogs fucking.
They do that.
That's like the best part.
They do
dude.
That, yeah. They do that. They definitely so do good. That. Yeah, this is pretty fucking funny. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, this one was all right. I think the most interesting thing that happens to Brendan in this one is that Paula literally censors him. And just him having to deal with just like censorship in general in his films as a kid.
Yeah.
When... It kind of reminded me, I swear this story is going to be short. It reminded me of when I was in high school. When I was in high school, a lot of people know I was doing an animated show called Power K. I brought it up on here a couple of times. And it's not a fucking kid cartoon. It's like swearing and stuff in it. And but the school really liked it because, like, what kid is making a cartoon
totally.
Like in his house? So... around the end of my time at high school, they got behind it. There was at one point they like put it on a TV in the fucking like on the walk-in, like as soon as you walk into school, it was like on the TV. And some kid, I still don't know who the fuck it was. Some kid told the principal that they were cursing in the cartoon. So they took it down. And when it came time to do the last episode, I wanted to like do this big thing and like play it in the auditorium at the school and like have everybody come and see it. So I thought it'd be cool. And the principal said, "Yeah, no, you could do it. Just make sure they don't curse." And I was like, "Okay." It's the filthiest fucking episode I ever wrote. It's so gross. They couldn't. What the fuck are you gonna do to me? It was like a week before graduation, fam. So you can't do shit to me. So like, I was like, fuck it, bro. My fucking grandfather was in the audience and shit, man.
Did he like it?
You know what?
It was supposed to be.
I don't think I ever asked him. I think I was always too scared to ask him.
You know, I'm sure he was proud of you. No matter what, like I you know, no so matter too. What, no matter what he thought about the subject matter, like the fact that you, as a high school student, made that shit. I'm sure he was just proud as hell. Like that's. Yeah, I think about that with my grandparents a lot. My grandparents don't understand anything about what I do, but they're just constantly like. We're impressed. We don't know how or what you're doing, but we're just amazed that you're doing it.
You know, you're doing something.
They're like, you know, you're like, you're paying your rent and you don't like, you don't ask us for help. And you just like, you're just like, you know what I mean? They're just like, you really just drove to LA and like are doing it. And I'm like, yep, I did it. Yeah.
It's good shit.
Man. So yeah. That's good. That's yeah. I think that is a fair that's I like that's a good anecdote to bring up from that piece of the episode, Tariq.
Sometimes you just kind of got to do what you want. Like Brent, like even it kind of it reminded me of Brendan because Brendan just kind of was like, I don't like what you made me make. So let me put this one part in for myself to say, fuck you. I'm going to do what I want. You know what I mean?
Right. And
yeah, like, I just kind of feel like that's like, I just get it, man. Like, being censored sucks. Like, I just get it.
Totally. Well, let's move on to
the deli episode.
We're here. We're at the one. Honky Magoo.
Honky Magoo, baby.
Oh man. That little dog. That little goddamn dog. I will say, I was not prepared, like, even though I remembered this episode, I was not prepared to, like, for how viscerally grossed out it would be at the first, like, farty, poopy, puppy moment where they were like, where Lynch was like, this little dog. And then they do the farts, and I'm just like, oh, that's pretty visceral fart sound.
No, fuck, you talking about the fart? Shit flies out of the dog's ass. Did you not see this?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about the sound. I was like, ew. Like, doo-doo. Like, it was really poopy. Like, I was like, man, what the fuck? Doo-doo.
Man,
so I don't funny. Like that shit. Yeah, is this... Oh, that's later. That's this later episode. Oh, it's literally the next one. The season is fucking gross. Jason spits on Brendan like 3 fucking times in the next episode. And I fucking hate it.
If we're talking about gross shit, we got to bring up the tail end where Honky Magoo goes crazy. And he starts licking everybody in the audience, and he gets to Walter and Perry, and he starts humping them. And they're like, oh my god, help us. They're like, oh, wait, oh no. And they start doing the Bruce shit. They're like, oh no. Yeah. Oh, no. Like, what?
This whole episode is like, how about the like sexist vet character where he's just like, some animals are emotionally unstable, just like beautiful ladies. What? Nothing.
Like, what kind of strain is
quirk,
that?
And I also, like the quirk that he keeps saying these messed up things and then immediately being like, nothing. Didn't say anything.
Like, he just gotta get that shit off his chest. Like, he just but he doesn't really want anybody to hear him. Okay, so it is made very clear through my notes that I didn't enjoy this one that much. Because I thought it was kind of gross. And I wrote there's a lot of yelling and characters being annoying this season. And I think that's why this might be my least favorite season. You ever notice how much they yell? They yell a lot this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
They yell a lot, and there's a lot of like characters like nagging each other and just kind of being really annoying. The note before I wrote that says, fuck this bird. I think I wrote that when it started talking. When it started talking, I was like, all right, bro, damn.
Right. So my one thing I wrote down that I just thought was kind of a crazy, weird coincidence is that how Melissa really wanted to name the dog Mr. Pickles, and then Adult Swim had a show about a dog later called Mr. Pickles. Mm. That's so weird. That's such a weird coincidence.
I thought about that too.
And there's another weird coincidence that we'll talk about later in the season that I think maybe Tariq, you realized too. We'll talk about at the end, but there's just some weird relations to other cartoons going on.
Oh shit, you know what, I forgot, because we went on the film tangent earlier, but I feel like because it wasn't really like a specific note, but obviously like there's one of the last few episodes of Clarence has like a very clear like they just put Brendan in the fucking episode.
Oh, yeah, they do that.
And he's like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Oh, he's like the film student.
Wonder,
huh?
Yeah, and I do wonder like if he did sneak some of his like really old movies in there for them to watch, because he was recommending them shit.
Oh man.
Oh, we should listen to
I've
that.
I always wondered that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's a good episode.
I completely forgot that they make him like that. He's exactly like that.
Yeah,
wow.
And they brought Brendan Smallbuck just to voice him. It is pretty cool.
That is cool. I like that. I like when shows are just like, we really love this show, and so we're just gonna do that in this. And I love Okay KO was so good at that. Where they're just like, we fucking love Captain Planet, so we're gonna literally bring in Captain Planet. We fucking love Sonic, we're gonna literally bring in Sonic. You know, it's,
dude,
it's
did you see the Teen Titans Go episode where they brought in Freakazoid?
No, I never saw that.
But it was cool.
So metal.
It was cool, but it was like, what the? Why the fuck are they doing this? I guess because I can.
I thought you were gonna bring up the one where they brought in De La Soul, which was also pretty.
Oh,
that
episode was fucking rad. I love that episode.
Yeah,
but like,
I did a video for back when I used to work for Nerdist. I did a video about like how cartoons connect and creating this like ridiculous multiverse. And we connected over 150 cartoons. And just in the last minute, you guys have mentioned two new ones and I'm like, I could have added this to the list. There's like so many more. There's so many more I know that I could add in there. We had Clarence in there and I'm like, oh shit, I didn't have home movies. Should have had home movies in there.
Did you put in the segment from that Gumball episode where they were watching TV for so long that they had gone into like four different other shows?
I maybe did. There was so much in there. It's actually cool. I'll show you guys the materials we did. You know what the funny thing is? We were gonna make that video. Me and my friend Hector Navarro, who's great. If you guys have ever listened to the SpongeBob podcast, the official SpongeBob podcast on Nickelodeon, which is brand new, Hector is hosting that. He's also the host of the Nick Animation podcast, which isn't exist anymore, but he was the host of that. But he and I had been, since we started the show, we were just like brainstorming, like, how do all these things connect? How can we create the craziest web of interconnected cartoon universes? And we were planning it out. And then we literally got to do an episode of our show where we interviewed Ian Jones-Cordy right when OKKO came out. And it was after the first season when season two was coming out. And we interviewed him. And after we finished, we brought up the Captain Planet thing he did. And we were like, yeah, we're trying to do all this thing where we connect all these things. And he was like, I can't tell you why, but just wait a little bit. And literally, like, within a few months was when the Cartoon Nexus event happened. And that was what that was what we built the whole video off of, was that. And so, like, we literally got that inside track. And he was just like, we have something cooking that's going to change how you do this, so just wait. And we're like, thanks, dude. We really appreciate
good.
It.
That's good shit. I love it. Yeah.
It was great. Cool. All right. Let's wait, Deli, you named yourself Honky Magoo. Do you have more to say about Honky Magoo before we move on?
Nah, that episode is fucking gross.
It's fucking I don't know, man.
You're literally doo-doo the fool over there. Like,
oh man.
Oof.
Duty.
Yeah. All right. I think this title is so funny, especially because this is now the curses season, the season of cursing. This 409 is called Those Bitches Tried to Cheat Me. I just like the idea of Jason being like, hey, Brendan, I have a crush on this girl. Can you introduce me to her? And it's like, Brendan's like, I don't know her. Like, I don't know her. it's so funny to me that that was Jason's plan, was just like, I can't introduce myself, so someone else who's never met her will introduce me to her. And then he bails, of course, and like that's a fun conflict where like she's just like, oh yeah, sure, your friend has a crush on me, it's your friend. And it's funny, it's a good premise. But my favorite thing about this episode is like the tone of the like the Hitchcockian tone of the test answer stealing story. Like the whole thing with Brendan finding the test answers for the test and being the only one to get the A+, and then everyone else basically blackmailing him to steal more test answers. Like the music they do and the like some of the small sequences, like the sequence when he ditches the test answers in the dumpster, they're like, it's got a very like suspenseful, like Hitchcockian vibe where it's like that's like, and I appreciated that the tone for that episode. The only other one I can think of that did that was like the, when Brendan got hit by the car, like the way they did that opening scene.
Oh yeah. I remember that.
But that was what I liked most about this episode, was that that subplot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this one. I think my only like big laugh was Brendan imitating Woody Allen. So funny because it's so spot on. When he's with, like, the movie.
Dude, I wrote down that too. The Woody Allen parody is so funny.
Yeah, they're like doing Manhattan. It's so funny.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah, like Brendan being Woody Allen is so funny to me.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, this one has the one. This is the one where Jason spits on Brendan.
Right. Not a fan. Yeah. So you're not a fan.
Not a fan. Stop spitting on me. He spits on him like three times. Yes.
Jason is nuts in this one. He's just kind of a little dickhead in this episode. Del, you got anything else, anything about this one?
Nah, I mean, it's I feel like they kind of just like plan the whole episode around that one title, because when it's dropped, it's like it's one of those moments where you should be like, ah, shit, they said it. Right. But it's kind of inconsequential. And I feel like it kind of sums up half of the vibe of season 4. And I don't feel strongly about this episode in particular, like, either way. But it is kind of like, oh, okay, well, you can do that, I guess. Because at least the Honky Magoo was like, there was a lot of shit happening. Literally, a lot of shit happening. But, you know, this one's just kind of like, okay, I guess you can do that now. This is the closest thing to filler that you'll get in home movies.
Feel that. Yeah, I feel that for sure. All right, well, let's move on to 410 then.
Yeah.
Cho and the Adventures of Amy Lee. This is another one where I was like kind of not crazy into the premise, but really into certain moments. Like there's little aspects of this episode that I wrote down that I was just like, I love this moment, love this moment, love this moment.
Yeah. Likewise. But
I love the line, it's hard to say woo without putting your hands up. Like when Melissa's trying to be the ghost, like woo, and she's like, put your hands down. He's like, it's hard to do without putting your hands up. It's so dumb. It's just so stupid. And then Walter and Perry getting the bloodlust, going, kill, 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 to show, to like scare him off, is so funny to me. Yeah, what do you guys moments in this one you like?
I like Brendan fighting his grandfather.
I wrote that too.
I like that. I like that. I like that. Like Brendan, like puts him on his ass a couple of times, and then he keeps getting back up. And like Brendan is like laughing at first, but then after a while, he's like, "This isn't even funny anymore. Like I don't fucking like hitting you."
Right. Right.
I also like, I like the I always pronounce the name of the movie wrong. Amelie?
Amelie.
Amelie. I like the Amelie parody. Yeah. Which, you know, obviously, when I saw this as a kid, I didn't get, because I didn't know what the fuck Amelie was, but I saw it in college. And now it always trips me out when I see cartoons reference it, because there's a Simpsons episode that that pays homage to it. Like, it's relatively recent. It tripped me out. I was like, oh, shit, is that Amelie? And I like the McGurk stuff. I like Dancing McGurk, and I like that he cries when he hears the bagpipes.
Yeah, I loved the dancing sequence. I really liked the dancing sequence with McGurk.
Yeah.
And I also like when Brendan gives him the kilt, and they're just like, why would you give him a kilt, Brendan? And he just goes, because he's a Scottish Highland dancer. Like, yeah, like, perfect reason to give him a kilt. It's super funny to me. Yeah. Del, you got any thoughts on this one?
I like it more. It's more difficult for me to think of like moments of it, cause I don't just remember really liking it. And I guess this sounds kind of lame because it is home movies, but it feels like it's like like forward thinking character development. It's like, yeah, they're helping people with the movies and shit. Like, this is really cool.
Right.
Other than that scene of Brendan and McGurk looking at the photo album, I don't know. I just think it's a good episode.
I don't know. Just seeing like the kid Cho and like it's kind of. I don't know. It's to me, it was kind of like a lesser version of the first plot where Brendan fights Shannon, and he has to learn how to fight, and he's got this bully, and it's like a ticking clock, and all this shit. I don't know. It just kind of was. I didn't like the kid that much. I didn't think he was really that funny. So like, I was just kind of tapped out on that whole side of the story. The most enjoyment I got out of it was seeing. Brendan and his grandfather. That's probably the most enjoyment I got out of that
part. Hell yeah. Of the plot. Yeah, I really like the Brendan and his grandfather stuff. I really like the Scottish Highland Dancer stuff. Really like Walter and Perry. But yeah, I wasn't too drawn to the Cho stuff personally. But yeah, there are some nice moments. Del, you brought up some really nice moments in this one. But yeah. All right, so we move on to 411?
Let's do it.
Great title. Definite Possible Murder.
Oh, this is the fucking... This is just... Oh, yeah. My first note is... Yeah, my first note is, oh, dude, they're just doing Rear Window, whatever.
I wrote, oh, it's the Rear Window one.
So, this is one of the ones I've never seen. So, when it started, I was like, oh, this is fucking Rear Window. Like, I don't know. I was just like, oh,
everything
whatever.
Does a Rear Window out. Eventually, right? Like,
yes.
But you know what's crazy is that Rear Window is so good that most parodies of Rear Window are also good. there's obviously shows that have done it. Like, there's that classic Simpsons episode where Bart thinks that Flanders murdered Maude.
Bart of Darkness.
Yes, Bart of Darkness, exactly. But then even like down to, have you ever seen the movie Disturbia? It's Shia LaBeouf.
I've seen it, though.
It's literally just Rear Window, but it was made like 10 to 15 years ago, and it's starring Shia LaBeouf. He's put on home arrest rather than like breaking his leg, and his mom is Carrie Ann Moss, one of the few other movies I've seen Carrie Ann Moss on. She plays Trinity in The Matrix, and it's just a very similar Rear Window thing where he witnesses his neighbor do something, and he tries to solve what it is from next door while he's got like this ankle bracelet on from being on home arrest. And it's a pretty good movie. it's pretty good. And it's just cause like the suspense of that premise is so strong in any scenario of just being like, I saw someone do something I wasn't supposed to see. I have to figure out what I saw. You know what I mean? I have to get to the bottom of it. Yeah, I don't know. I just always thought it's like there's so few Rear Window parodies that I'm like, yeah, that sucked.
I was watching the Family Guy one the other day. They do it way later.
I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, it's way. It's like fuck. It's like season 16. Like it's late. Yeah.
Oh damn.
Because it's part of an arc. There's an arc in Family Guy where Brian gets canceled on Twitter, so he moves out. so like for like 3 to 4 episodes he just doesn't live with them anymore, and he got like this apartment, and I think when he's like coming home one day he fucks up and like breaks his leg, and you know his leg's broken, and Stewie comes over, but Stewie only comes over because he thinks he saw Chris and Meg's principal kill his wife like from across the street, across the window. And the end resolution of that, I think, is that the big bag that he was carrying that like looked like it had blood in it, it was actually like, it was full of like, it was like spaghetti or something like that from like the school lunches. And like the cops go like, oh nah man, it's okay. We'll just, y'all could just serve that at the school next week. And then Stewie's like, they're gonna fucking serve that shit like after this.
Man,
but yeah, that one's all right.
This kind of makes me want to watch Rear Window. That movie's so good. Have you guys watched it? You guys seen the original?
No, I actually haven't.
Dude.
I have.
Okay. I've seen a starkly low amount of Hitchcock, I think.
Well, here's the thing. Hitchcock made like 50 movies.
Oh, yeah.
So like it's like I've seen a handful, and I have a huge Blu-ray collection of like I have a set of a bunch of his movies, and I have some other ones that I bought on Criterion and a couple on 4K. And I'm kind of working my way through them because they're all like, there's something cool about all of them. But Rear Window is like truly, truly like great argument for his best movie, but it's not just because it's such a well-told story. The thing that I think you will really appreciate is how absolutely incredible the set is and the choreography required for that movie to work the way it did, because it's not created like they're just showing a bunch of individual people in their apartments. Like basically this guy's got his leg broken. He's sitting there and he's looking over this courtyard, and they made this entire set where you can see through over the courtyard and into like six different apartments. And they're literally coordinating every person doing what they're doing in their apartment at the same time.
That's
so you have
so
this
good.
Wide, it's incredible. It is truly so incredible. Can't recommend Rear Window enough to anyone who hasn't seen it, or even if you have, just watch it again. It's really great.
Have you have you seen Notorious?
No, but I did. I think I bought a copy on Criterion, and it's one that I haven't popped in yet. But I have. I gotta watch Notorious still.
I'm only bringing it up because as a 10-year-old black kid, I was very confused when I tried to Google the Biggie Smalls movie. And this black and white shit popped up.
I love that. My favorite Hitchcocks are like most people are like, you know, Psycho. The Vertigo, The Birds, Rear Window. Yeah, Rear Window is really good. And they're all great. All of those are great. But the one that I love is called Strangers on a Train. Strangers on a Train is amazing. It's the premise is that this guy is going home to see his he's going home, and he's trying to divorce his wife because like she was unfaithful and they've got all this stuff going on. And he meets a guy in the train and he kind of opens up to him, and the guy's like, well, I've got this person in my life who's a real problem to me too. It's like his dad or something. And he's like, he's gonna leave me the house. And he's like, what if you killed my dad and I'll kill your wife? And the guy is just like, no, I'm not gonna do that. But then the guy does it anyways. and so all of a sudden, like, it's just like this great, it's so good. It's like, it's so, I mean, obviously the dude's known as the master of suspense for a reason, but it is so suspenseful in such
you
a
know,
great way.
What's so funny about that is that they just did that on Family Guy a couple
no
months
way.
Ago.
They're just going through all the Hitchcocks.
They just did that.
Send
a
me the
months
send me
ago.
The episode title of that because I want to watch that.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. The other one I really like is Rope. Rope is cool.
I've seen Rope.
Rope rules. It all takes place in one apartment, and the premise is that like these two guys kill one of their classmates right before having everyone over to have a party, and they're like, and then they put him in this like this chest, and then everyone knows this guy and everyone knows them comes over for the party, and the whole time they have to talk around where he went and what happened to him and like avoid revealing that they have their dead friend's dead body in the apartment. It's really good. It's really good. Man, Hitchcock's great.
Yeah.
love his films. Really good shit. I guess we should keep talking about this episode.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes. What else we got here? Oh, Paula says like some really fucking sick shit. Because they're talking about how the guy doesn't have any pictures of his wife, And then Paula says, like, well, you know, she's Greek. And, you know, the Greek woman ain't really that attractive. They got all that hair. And I was like, whoa. I was like, whoa.
Paula.
Yeah, what the fuck was that about?
Yeah.
This episode and the next one features Paula asking Brendan to do things that she just shouldn't be asking an 8-year-old kid to do. When they're at the dinner, and like the guy, first of all, the guy, he hammers it in. He keeps using like murderous fucking verbiage with everything he yeah. talks about. Yeah. And he's doing that at the dinner table, and it's obviously bothering Brendan. So, and the whole time McGurk is, he's bartending, she tells Brendan, Brendan, why don't you go get a drink at the bar? And I was like, what the fuck? And he just gets up and goes over there.
Yeah.
And, in the next so one, funny. In the next one, when McGurk is blind, when they're at the doctor's office, she says, Brendan, go outside and start the car. What the fuck? Why would you?
That's funny. I'm going to say two more things about this one before we move on to, since we already started talking about temporary blindness a little bit. I really liked McGurk going through the, trying to learn to make the drinks. And, are these real drinks? He was like, oh, sex on ice, sex on the driveway, sex on the beach. Like sex on the driveway.
Sex on the driveway is so funny. That's really
funny. Oh man. And then I also just like, I know this is where the title of the episode comes from, but I liked it even completed when he finished the line where Brendan goes, definite possible murder that I maybe think I saw. And then I also just like the line when McGurk is pretending to make this guy his sex on the beach, and it's just beer, and the guy's just very formal, and he's like, I implore you, make me a sex on the beach. That line made me laugh a lot.
Which like, okay, you can keep sending him back. It's a waste of a good sex on the beach. He just fucking pours him beer.
He's just pouring more beers. It's so funny.
That whole bit is just like a back and forth of John Benjamin.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's just John Benjamin talking to himself.
It's talking to himself.
It's
yeah.
pretty funny. All right. You guys want to move on to temporary blindness?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I'm going to be honest. I only have one note written for this one. This is the one that...
Dude, I have four.
Okay. Well, I want my note is, what the fuck? Why is McGurk's Jimmy Stewart impression good now? Because remember in another episode, he did a bad Jimmy Stewart impression. He did the one where he's like, I'm Jimmy Stewart from A Wonderful World. And this time he's like nailing it.
It's so good. It's so fucking good. And the one that got me the most was Carson. It was such a good Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
It was such a good Johnny Carson.
They were all pretty good. Like he was really doing all of them good. Man, that was so funny. but I thought that one made me laugh so hard just because he specifically did a horrible Jimmy Stewart impression in another episode.
Yeah.
And I thought he was gonna do it again.
I did too. I definitely did too. But then he's fucking killing it up there.
Yeah,
and no matter who he's doing, he's killing it up there.
Yeah.
Episode
what else you guys
off,
got for this one? That's my only note.
Episode starts off, McGurk calls the baby a dork because it has glasses. he said that glasses are for dorks, and he said, especially like on a baby that's like super dork. He says something fucked up like that.
It does. I will say though, like he's kind of right in that like babies have such small heads, so glasses look so funny. They look so big on a baby. So like babies do look like little dorks when they wear glasses.
I don't remember who says this. I wrote in quotations, I found another man. Who says that?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either. And it was today. I watched this shit today. Oh,
whatever. This is such a weird second to last episode. This is so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
They were I guess I kind of appreciate, even though I didn't really super care for this episode, I really appreciate that they were just like, I kind of appreciate they're like, we'll just do something really fucking weird. like McGurk is a blind prophet now.
Strange. The fuck? This is another one I just didn't see. I didn't notice. I think I brought that up earlier.
I've definitely seen it, but I forgot. Just forgot about it. Mm-hmm. Deli, you got anything about this one?
Nah. Other than like laser eye surgery is kind of gross, but this pretty much.
You mean
it.
Like it's gross because it's gross to think about things going in your eye, or gross, or do you have a moral objection to laser eye surgery?
I mean, from what I remember of the episode, the way they just like, he's like literally like burning his eyes, and it's like you can hear that shit crisp up like it's bacon. Totally. It's like, dude.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah, fair. That's gross.
Why are you going so hard on these sound effects?
Hey, like, Deli, you entitled to feel however the fuck you want to feel, but I was really hoping that you had some kind of big ass moral high ground.
I kind of did too.
Nah.
Like, what's wrong with glasses? What's wrong with glasses?
I needed that.
In this 4-hour essay, I will document.
Yeah, like I was right. I'm like, damn, Deli about to get his bag.
Nah. Save it for the summer months.
That's good shit.
I heard that.
All right, should we just move on and talk about the finale?
Series finale. Focus Grill.
Focus Grill, baby. Okay, so I like them making fun of Melissa's makeup. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, did you did it yourself? He's like, yeah, I just applied it in the mirror. He's like, oh, you had a mirror? It's so funny.
I love in that same scene, I love them talking about how Paula and McGurk look together. And like, just like, is McGurk gonna be a new dad? Like, yeah. Because what was killing me was that, like, okay, when the episode started and like McGurk came out with the grill, I was like, yeah, why the fuck is he doing this? And then they brought it up and they're like, that's kind of just like a dad thing to do. Why the fuck is he buying? Like, why is he building up? And I was like, yeah, what the fuck? Okay, I'm glad they're acknowledging it.
It does feel like the show kind of always like it always danced around it because they have such a weird bro ship. Like Brendan, the way Brendan treats McGurk is not like a dad, but like McGurk very much inserts himself into Brendan's stuff all the time in a very fatherly way. And I'm glad that they did that for this episode, but it also featured something I talked about in the last one where I love when McGurk is confident but wholly unequipped to do something. You know, he's like, he's ready to do it and he just doesn't know how.
Which, like, I just kind of felt like that grill would have been very simple to put together if he just read the fucking instructions. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would have been that hard.
It shouldn't be. should be a lot easier than the kitchen thing he did last season.
Exactly. That was something where it's like, yeah, I get it. You bit off more than you get you. But this, fam, it comes with instructions. They don't just give you the parts and say, fuck off, do your best. You know what I mean? Like, it's instructions.
It's,
man, I've seen McGurk like reading anything close to like an instruction manual. So if he did, and it would be out of character.
The only thing is, I guess his own journal.
Yeah.
Journal to the center of McGurk.
Journal to the center of McGurk. That should be the title. That's what I'm going to title this episode on YouTube. Yeah. Journal to the center of McGurk.
Journal freak. He called himself a journal freak.
Oh man.
Let's see what we got.
Yeah, he's more of a movie guy, as we established with his obsession with Bag of McGurk.
Dude, don't even fucking get me started, fam. I was so mad.
So first of all, the thing that I wanted to bring up that I thought maybe you would have noticed, Tariq, is McGurk being like basically the meta commentary of Brendan being like, I'm trying to write the end of this thing and I'm just having trouble just ending it. I'm having trouble just ending this thing.
Right.
But then McGurk being like, well, you should just end it with a grill. With a grill out. Yeah. With a cookout.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, so this is 7 years or like 5 years before the end of King of the Hill. Which is what they do. Yes. It's exactly what they do.
They end it with the grill.
And it's perfect for that show. But I just thought that was so funny how they literally were like, that's a good way to end something. And I'm like, that is truly one of my favorite endings of all time is when King of the Hill ends with a grill.
I really love that. What McGurk is going through and what Brendan is going through is like, so it's like, they kind of correlate because like they're both taking really long to do something that should be really simple,
right?
Right. Because it's not like I don't know. For Brendan, it's kind of just like this feeling of dread, and like for McGurk, it was more like his inadequacy, right? But I feel like that's kind of a brilliant marriage of what it's like to end a show. There is the dread of getting to the end of it, and then there's the insecurity of feeling incompetent, of feeling like, fuck, am I going to fuck this up? Am I going to write the wrong ending? Are people going to like this? Yeah. Exactly. And I really like that. I really like that, like, they used it that way. I didn't notice it as a kid, but I really like that they used it that way. And fuck all, I said, I like Brendan's ending.
I really love the end of this. I really, really love this episode. And also, like, even I just thought of this as you were saying that, but like, there's almost also this like McGurk, we've seen over the course of the show, McGurk is constantly inserting himself into Brendan's life, like, and Paula's life. And like, he clearly has this like real genuine love for Brendan in some weird way. And it's almost like, is him not finishing the grill, like him being worried about like not like having to leave, you know what I mean? Like having to not like leave, like not be there at Brendan's house, be a part of Brendan, like helping Brendan and Brent and Paula anymore. You know what I mean? Is it like representative of him, like not wanting to remove himself from Brendan's life, because he's got this attachment to him. There's a lot of good stuff. My favorite thing about this episode, is them talking about the movies and making films and this and being like, I don't think our movies should be watched it's really funny, but I just am being like, like, I don't think they should be watched. It was always about our connection doing this together. It was always about us. This is something that brought us together and we love making the films and we love the process. And it's like about how we love and relate to each other through this process. It's not about the films. It's about how the films made us, you know, and made our friendship.
I wish that scene was longer. Like, I wish they like talked a little more about it. I fucking love that. I love them just talking about it like that, and just kind of like, I don't know why we do this. It just kind of feels like we should. And I feel like that's just something that like creatives go through, right? Because like, I mean, at a certain point in your life, right, and a certain point in your adult life, especially as a creative, you realize the purpose that your art has on the world at a certain point. It's kind of a realization that people get to. It's like, we're different points in their life, but people get to it eventually. But these are kids, and they obviously don't know what the purpose of it is. And it's just kind of, the way Brendan puts it, is like, I don't know. It just kind of feels like we should be doing it, so we do it. And I see that kind of as like, I don't know. I feel like this about myself, and you guys probably feel this way about yourselves too. But I've always kind of felt like I was created to create. Like, I don't think I can do anything else but make shit. You know what I mean? And I think that's what they're going for. I think they're going for the fact that, like, we do this because we literally wouldn't be ourselves if we didn't anything else.
Totally.
This is what we're designed to do. And this is why we do it. And that, and when you do something purely for the fact that you feel as though it is what you're supposed to do, it doesn't matter who sees it. So that's, I think that's why Brendan says, like, I don't think people should watch these. Like, yeah, right. they suck, but like we do them because we have to. Right. You know what I mean?
Do you think there was any sort of meta commentary from the creators being do you think that was a reflection on this show? Do you think they were just like, are we going to be proud of this show in the future? Like, are we going to, like, I love it. But, like, who knows what they were feeling at the time, you know? Like, we make these things because we feel the need to do it. And we love the process and the relationships that we make doing it. I feel the same way as you do, Tariq. Like, I don't know what I would do if I couldn't just make stuff. Like, if I wasn't making stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Deli, what do you think about this one? How you feel about the series finale? I know you're a fan of this one.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to still even process it because there's so many layers to it. It's hard to watch, but it's also something that's necessary to try to digest. I guess I should do my job because I'm the fucking critic in residence.
Why do you feel like it's hard to watch?
On the base level, everybody has like a different interpretation of focus group, and everybody, even if they come to like the same conclusion about what it meant or like how everybody came out of it, they always have like differences in like details or how they interpret certain bits. You know, it's like you could say that the focus group is necessary for us to have this meta commentary actually work, but it is really like fucking annoying. Like, there's plenty of people that feel that way, but of course wouldn't want to take it out, right? There's plenty of people that also would say that maybe the ending should have been tweaked because it's like a little too bittersweet and maybe it could be more sentimental and maybe they could have talked about it a bit longer, like you'd said, and that they, you know, they could have had like a real swallow of emotion. You know, it's hard to gauge too because I think more shows nowadays do get like real endings, or at least in the context of animation. More shows are getting like capped earlier, but more so they have the ability to like at least give themselves a definitive ending. So I guess this is a hot take. I don't think there's any wrong way to do a finale. It really does depend. I couldn't look at like I couldn't look at Focus Grill, and if somebody tried to apply it to like fucking Ren and Stimpy, I couldn't necessarily say, like, yeah, that wouldn't work. I don't think. It's so, like, variable. When I watch Focus Grill, it does feel, like, disjointed. Because there are so many of those layers that you kind of have to, like, parse through one by one and try to process on your own. But that's kind of difficult, of course. If you try to digest everybody else's take, you're probably going to understand less of that shit as time goes on. I have heard that the finale does bum a lot of people out. And I wouldn't say that I like broke down in tears or anything. But it is like, the more you watch it, it's like, yeah, this is a little more of a bummer each and every time. Not in the way it's like, oh, I'm never going to see them again. It's like, damn, what the fuck?
Those last couple shots where the fucking camera breaks and you just kind of watch his like eyes swell up and like nobody notices. And then he immediately just kind of is like, yeah, no, I could eat some tapas.
You know what I mean? Like, that just kinda, is like, It's like, what the fuck? And of course, it's like, yeah, like thematically, like, yeah, it's all coming together. But it's like, what the fuck? It's not that the camera broke. Because if this were a season one or a season two episode, the whole plot would be about him getting money for the new camera or like or something like that. But it's that he didn't go back for it. And it's the fact that it was 10 seconds at most where he thought about it. There was a split second where, you know, his eyes started to get big and he was going to start simpering over it. And everybody just was just talking about what food they were going to get. And he just kind of assimilated. And that like 10, 15 seconds says like a lot. Like a lot beyond what it's supposed to say. I think there is like evident meta commentary about the show. Because in every like instance of extra commentary they provide, they usually are not self-deprecating, but they are like, you know, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. We're just making the show. You know, there is like that thin layer of like cynicism or maybe derision, but it's not really heavy, I guess. But it definitely does speak to how they felt they were treated later on, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it also speaks to probably how they were feeling. Maybe I think season four also was probably a bit of like commentary on the state of the environment they were in. And since they were getting the fuck out, they didn't need to worry about it. But that was like 2004-05. So that was like Family Guy was really popping off on Adult Swim. Robot Chicken was coming in. Boondocks was coming in. I want to say Venture Bros. I think that was a bit earlier. You know, but like the whole landscape of that network was really different from like how it was when it started. And I wouldn't say it's like the most drastic shit ever. But once they were done, it was clear that, you know, they kind of couldn't go back to it. Or at least that's how I saw it. Season four, like, you know, I think between the three of us, we know that we probably would not choose to revisit season four between all the seasons. Because it is just kind of, it's kind of middling and it does feel like shit is winding down. But it is thematically, I guess, perhaps the most significant because it ties into that expertly. I don't think that's all meta commentary. They weren't planning this out from the jump. Like, yeah, we're going to make this kind of mid to suit our purpose. But it ended up kind of being that way. It was kind of
crazy.
Yeah. You know, they were stepping down from their pedestal. They were kind of looking around and they were kind of like older, like bitter adults. Like, man, this shit really different. But they were also kind of like moving on. And the show might have had that same impact for like Lauren and Brendan and Bill Broadus and everyone else. I don't really know. You know, but I mean, those are all things that he would think about. I'll end on this too, because this is, this could be like a half hour video, but like, I think there's a lot of utility in endings that just end.
Shit!
Yeah, I feel her. Yeah. She's like, wrap it up, dude. The fuck?
You see my eyes?
Someone walked past. Hey, stop.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of utility to like endings that actually end. I think we brought it up last time because Tariq and I are pretty big Phineas and Ferb junkies,
right?
And a few of our friends are too, a common thread, because the show had ended like 6-7 years ago, but of course it's popular enough that they can keep plugging away at it for a while because it is so flexible. It has wide appeal. They say the same episodes, same shit, when it's not really. And the common thread, it's like a running gag between our circle, right? That Phineas and Ferb will go on until 2169, and of all us will be dead, yeah. And the show will be on to its 34th iteration of, right. You know. So, like, every, like, new Dwampy show is, like, Phineas and Ferb 2, Phineas and Ferb 3, Revenge of, right, the, yeah. Revenge of the Ferb Snatch, yeah. You know, it's like...
Revenge of the Ferb Snatches is crazy.
This is a good episode. You know, and of course, like, we love this show. We're going to keep coming back to it and trying to look into it. But mm-hmm. It is really exhausting to have to go through that shit. And, you know, also seeing, like, the natural kind of evolution of, like, the people that work on it, too. You know, Dan and Swampy are different people than they were when they started the show. And it fucking shows. I'm not going to specify how, but it fucking shows. Phineas and Ferb ended. It didn't really end. You know, we have a hard time even, like, saying that, because it doesn't really, it didn't really end.
Yeah, man, that's, you know what, though, and I think that's, that in particular, just kind of, like, going through that with Phineas is kind of what makes me, like, really weird about when shows come back.
Yeah.
Because, like, that, when Phineas and Ferb ended, it was still my favorite show at the mm-hmm. time when it went off. And, like, when it ended, it fucking, like, that shit, like, rocked me to my fucking core. Like, I was like, whoa. Like, they ended with, like, that big-ass song, and all the characters are singing together and shit, and then they all just walk in the house, Phineas waves, and he closes the door. I fucking loved that. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was so great. Yeah. And it was, what was satisfying about it to me was... the fact that it was a bookend. Phineas literally closes the door and it ends the show. And that moment, like, was so heavy to me because I knew this was going to be the last time I saw him. Except it fucking wasn't. And, like, now that kind of, it doesn't make the episode bad or anything. That doesn't make the ending bad. But that moment doesn't mean anything to me anymore. You know what I mean? Because, like, there's more. he's right. Just closing the door. But at first, he was closing the door, and he was closing the door on all of us. He's closing the door on the adventures, bookend, yada, yada, yada. Now, he's just closing the fucking door. You know what I mean? He's just closing a door. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah. He just closes the door.
And they went out of their way to, like, express that this was kind of metatextual, too, because when you see everyone going inside, you know, Candace is giving him a fist bump and Perry tips his hat off in this secret agent form. You know, it's like this ogre. It's all it.
Is
The show lasted long enough that people could, like, start watching it as kids and graduate fucking high school when it ended. I had a graduation the same day it ended, and I was salutatorian, and I was literally rushing everybody the fuck out of school so we could get home and watch this fucking finale, I could cry in a corner and not understand what the fuck is going on. So is all of that invalid or what? And there are other memories, right, where people watch this show and it sticks with them, and the show is on during poignant parts of people's lives. Mm-hmm. And then they turn around and they spit on it like Jason spits on Brendan. It's like, stop spitting on me, man.
And that's it. Yeah,
spitting on me.
I feel like when shows have proper endings, if you want to bring it back, whatever. But I feel like you gotta do something different. If it comes back exactly how it was, what the fuck did you do the ending for? You know, that's just kind of how I feel. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think often, though, like, I especially think about situations like Futurama, which had to do that four times. But they were always like, they were never ready to end. They were never ready to end the show.
And you can tell.
Yeah.
And you can tell. And that's why, like, you know, that's why I never felt that way about it. You know what I mean? Like, I do like Devil's Hands more than Meanwhile, whatever. But at the end of the day, I was never like, oh, man, why the fuck they bring it back? It was so good. Right. Like, no. obviously weren't done. I, you can see that there.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. I like this. I really like this ending beat. And, you know, I understand why people get bummed out by the camera breaking, by the camera breaking and him not going back for it. I understand. But I also think, like, when you look at that, I think that as a symbolic moment to end the series, it's very nice. Like, that is the camera watched him use this whole show to make these home movies. But I also think that when you, like, pair that in conjunction with what he was saying earlier in the episode and those scenes that we really liked where they're talking about making the films, like, I don't think that means he's going to stop making movies with these people, because they literally just talked about how, like, we are made to make these movies together. Like, this is, we are called to do it, and we need to do it. And and yeah, I don't know. Like, I get why people can be like, what? But it's, I saw it as like this nice symbolic moment to end the show. Whereas So the episode as a whole works really well for me.
It's over for that chapter, that era, that camera. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they had a specific amount of years with that exact camera, and that's over. We don't get to see the fucking new Blackmagic fucking Ursa camera that they buy after. Right. You know what I mean? Mm. We don't get to see it. But we know that it happens, because we know that they understand that this is what they have to do.
Right.
And yeah, and like Dudley was saying, like, the finale isn't, and that's actually the thing that I like about it, though, is that it inspires conversation. It's not one-to-one. They don't spell out to you what the grill means. They don't spell out, like, they don't spell out to you what Brendan is going through. You just kind of have to take all of these things as they happen, and it inspires thought. It inspires, well, what does that mean? What did they do that for? You know what I mean? And I feel like that, I don't know. Sometimes finales don't do that, you know? Sometimes finales get so wrapped up in, no, we got to answer everybody's questions. Mm. When really, like, yeah, you can end the show, you can answer everybody's questions, and we can know what happens to everybody, yada, yada, yada. And after we talk about how good it was, what the fuck do we talk about after it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do we talk about after that?
And, like, there are finales that are perfect endings that I've been able to talk about so many. You know, like, I've obviously talked about the Futurama finale a lot. I've talked about the King of the Hill finale a lot. There are finales that do that, that give you a really solid sense of finality and enough to, like, dissect within the body of the show. But that is, like, you're right. What else do you say after you're just like, this is why this was great? Whereas, like, there's really something, I think, magical about a show that can leave you inspired to discuss with more, like, just inspired to be like, I want to talk about and unpack that. And not everyone has. This is a weird direction to go with it, but it's one of the reasons I like David Lynch's work, is because he has his own internal logic about everything he makes, but he doesn't tell anyone how it works. And so the most fun thing about his weird ass movies is talking to people about what the fuck it means. And it literally, his work will be discussed until the end of time, because it is so, like, there's so many different interpretations.
Right, exactly.
And that's really, there's something really cool and magical about that. And I like that this, it is like, it feels like a definitive end, but it doesn't, there's plenty to talk about it. There's plenty to be like, what does this mean? What does this mean? What did they mean by this? And I like that. I like that we're sitting here, how many, 17 years after this finale, 16 years after this finale aired, and we're debating what the purpose was and how it means, and that's great.
Yeah.
There's an incredible amount of power in capping it how they did and not answering everyone's questions, because you can answer everyone's questions and then make it hollow as fuck. Just kind of slowly, softly kind of withdrew and kind of just left on that note that everybody is left better by the movies, even if they don't like the movies, I think the movies are dog shit. They left everybody a bit better. Everybody has a place within the movies. Everyone has a role, and they're going to take that on to the next part of their lives. That there's nothing, there's a lot to interpret, but there's nothing to really, like, reform. And especially at this point in time where everything's being rebooted and readapted and remade, there is a tangible amount of power in just like retroactively yanking that opportunity away. You cannot fucking, there's no way that you can take this and like retcon it.
You can't fucking do it.
I do like
when like there's a sense of finality. But even then, I don't know, man. Sometimes it doesn't matter. Fucking the dad dies at the end of Roseanne, and then he wakes up in the start of the new Roseanne, and then Roseanne just says, "Oh shit, I thought you died." And it's like, yeah, because he did. Like, what are you talking about?
It's actually even crazier than that, because the end of Roseanne, they reveal that the whole final season was not real, because the end of the second to last season, Dan, I think his name's Dan, John Goodman's character, has a heart attack. And then the final season is that he was fine. They won the lottery. They have this crazy, the season is totally different. They're like all their dreams are coming true in all these ways. And then the end of the season is revealed that that was all in a book. He actually died when he had the heart attack in the previous season. It was like this big mic drop ending. And then they bring back Roseanne, the show, and you're like, no, that wasn't the real ending. We're going to continue it off of this. And then Roseanne fucks up her chance on that. And when they go on to do the Connors, they kill her off in the show. It's nuts. Like that whole saga is nuts.
Roseanne is fucked.
Yeah. It's nuts.
That shit is fucked.
Yeah.
And the way they kill her is nuts too. They make it like this whole story about the opiate crisis and how she was secretly doing drugs and they didn't know. And she dies. She like literally dies of a drug overdose off screen before the first episode of the Connors.
Man, it's nuts. Yo,
I like the way the arc played out.
But I didn't watch through it, so I don't know how it plays out. But you know, at least they try to do, like, they're trying to do something with that. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to do, and that's you know, I think that's definitely in such a difficult situation. I think a relatively ambitious way to approach it. You know, it's like at least you're not just like waving it off and being like, well, she's gone. You know what I mean? But finales are so interesting. What are they gonna do? How are they gonna end The Simpsons, man? Like, that's the one that I always think of. Like, what I like, that's gonna be one of those instances where cable ratings are much higher than they should be, because people are like, I gotta watch The Last Simpsons. You know,
it's the biggest show in the history of TV. What the fuck? I don't know. Like, we talked about it a little earlier about how there's just like this like overwhelming sense of dread and sense of insecurity when ending something. Man, times that shit to 1,000 for The Simpsons. Like,
no, man.
I do not envy the person that is tasked with writing the final script.
Yeah, who are they gonna have do it? Maybe
you gotta
they should
ask
just
Schwartz
get
to do it.
Does he write for them anymore, though? Like, are you gonna have him come back? Like, come back to write the last one?
I think so.
I don't know.
They brought him back for the movie.
I mean, you know who my vote is.
Conan.
No, I think you go Ken Keeler, who wrote four great Futurama finales. He was a writer for Simpsons for a long time. I don't know if he's writing for
he
them now, but I think the reality is you probably have one of those guys who's been
you gotta call old head.
I feel like you probably have a lot of people work on it, but if I were going to put money on it, I would guess it's an Al Jean script. That would be my bet. Just because he's written, he's been there since the literally beginning, and he's been in charge the longest. And I think it's because he feels a responsibility. I think that would be my guess. Like, he feels a responsibility to try to end it well. And you know, whether or not he does, like, will remain to be seen. But I can at least respect him being like, I got to do this right. You know what I mean? I can respect him being like, this is my responsibility to do this. But I don't know. I kind of just hope it's really left in the hands of whoever's running the show when the show ends. You know what I mean? Like, and I hope they call and consult with a lot of people and get a lot of ideas in there. But Yeah, I don't know. It's so daunting. It's such a daunting idea. And they did that one Christmas episode that was potentially going to be the finale. Do you remember that one? Mm-hmm. Holiday, was yeah, it Future yeah, Past? Yeah. That was a good Holiday one. Future I think it's good. Yeah. It's a really good episode.
I like that episode a lot.
Yeah. That'll be crazy. Crazy thing when they finally end that show.
Mm-hmm. That's weird to think about.
I know. It'll probably happen in the next... I don't know, man. It's 6 years.
I don't know. I said that mad long ago, but like it didn't. You know what I mean?
Season is. I guess I've only watched the first like third of season third of the new season of The Simpsons, but I've really, really liked what I've watched of this new season.
It's pretty fucking good, bro.
It's like to a degree that I have not felt about that show in a long time, where I've just been like this, like every episode after episode has something that I'm just like, that was really cool idea, or like it's that was a really nice good. Moment. And that, like,
I am historically obsessed with there's an episode in this new season. I don't even remember what the fucking episode is about. I just know that Marge calls an operating line that is supposed to connect her to Abe. And when she calls, the lady like obviously knows who Marge is. And Marge says, hi, can you connect me to my dad? She calls Abe her dad. Mm. I love that shit so much. I've been thinking about it for weeks. I love that shit so much. I am obsessed with that shit.
Yeah, man, this has been a cool season. It's been a cool season of TV. Like I went out of my way to show so many people A Serious Flanders because I was so just like, good. this is the craziest thing The Simpsons has done in a long time, and it like works so well. And so every single person I've shown it to has been like, that was so good. that was so good. Like that wasn't like what I remember The Simpsons being, but that was so good. You know what I mean? All right, we should probably start to wrap this up. We're getting up there. Let's do our ranking. So I guess we kind of wrapped up our thoughts about the show, I think. Like, the show is really good. I think we did a really good job talking about that finale. It's a great show. It's a really great, unique show. I can't think of another show that is anything like this show. And that's a pretty cool thing to be able to say about a show, you know, there's nothing absolutely. That I couldn't, if someone was like, I like home movies, what else would you recommend me? I'd be like, I don't know, man.
yo, man.
All right. I'll do my ranking. 13, Temporary Blindness. 12, Cho and the Adventures of Amy Lee. 11, Honky Magoo. 10, The Wizard's Baker. 9, Camp. 8, Those Bitches Tried to Cheat Me. 7, The Psycho Delicate. 6, Definite Possible Murder. 5, Curses. 4, The Heart Smashers. 3, Everyone's Entitled to My Opinion. 2, Bye Bye Greasy. 1, Focus Grill.
Sick. I'll do mine.
Hell yeah.
Got 13, Camp. 12, Honky Magoo. 11, Definite Possible Murder. 10, Those Bitches Tried to Cheat Me. 9, The Heart Smashers. 8, Chow and the Adventures of Amy Lee. 7, Temporary Blindness. 6, The Wizard's Baker. 5, Curses. 4, Psycho Delicate. 3, Bye Bye Greasy. 2, Everyone's Entitled to My Opinion. And 1, Focus Grill.
We got the same top 3, just a slightly different order. Hell yeah.
Let's hear it, Deli.
Number 13, Temporary Blindness. Number 12, Psycho Delicate. Number 11, Those Bitches Tried to Cheat Me. Number 10, Everyone's Entitled to My Opinion. Number 9, Curses. Number 8, The Heart Smashers. Number 7, The Wizard's Baker. Number 6, Honky Magoo. Number 5, Definite Possible Murders. Number 4, Cho and the Adventures of Amy Lee. Number 3, Camp. Number 2, Bye Bye Greasy. Number 1, Focus Grill.
Your list is crazy.
Yeah, it's very different. But I really like that we've all got Focus Grill and Bye Bye Greasy so high in there.
Focus Grill is the one. I would have been worried if somebody didn't
all
have
three
it
of us
as
did it
the
up
number
there.
One.
But also, I'm glad that we were all so into Bye Bye Greasy because that episode's so fun.
It's funny.
It's a great episode, yeah.
That shit with the car literally is just it,
and
it's
I'll just, race.
That's so funny. Oh,
it's so funny. It's I might listen shit. To that song. I might listen to the racing song after we get off of here. All right. I think we should start wrapping it up. So obviously we said this at the top, but we're going to be taking a little bit of time off the main feed, but check out our Patreon if you guys want episodes over the next couple of months, but we're going to backlog a bunch of episodes and we'll be able to just put out a bunch of stuff nonstop, without any breaks once we return. I want to thank Deli. This is the first time we tried this, having someone on for a whole mini series. And I know we took a long time to get through the show because of the holidays and sickness and all that. But thanks for coming on, dude. It was really awesome to have you on. Your home movies video is truly one of my favorites. So I was really happy that we got to talk about this whole show with you.
It's my pleasure. No, I'm glad that y'all brought me on and I really appreciate it. And I've enjoyed our time together and, getting to sit down and talk about these in depth is really cool. So you don't often get to do that even when you make videos about, you know, your favorite shit for a while. Sometimes right. It's like you put it down and you leave it and you got to move on to the next thing. But
totally.
Having to reexamine it is tough. It's challenging, but it's good work. So I'm glad I'm doing it with two good friends.
Hell that's yeah. Right. So great to have you. Yeah, do you guys have anything you want to plug for the end of the episode? I guess go watch my Futurama ranked video. I worked really hard on it.
Watch that Futurama ranked.
And so did both of them. Deli and Tariq did some editing for me on it, and like literally all three of us like put work into that thing. It's a beast. And I'm so grateful for both of them and it was a big thing. So I would love if you gave it a watch or listen.
Great video, man.
Yeah. Tariq, what you got anything? Last thing you put out was Buzz on Maggie, yeah?
Buzz on Maggie, man. Yeah, go show that some love. I really like that video. I think it's really funny.
It's a good video.
Thanks, man. I'm working on High Puffy AmiYumi right now. So, because I realized I barely talk about Cartoon Network despite it being the one that I watch the most. So I'm going to go there. Yeah, man, it's just that. I don't know, Sketch the Round podcast, me, Steve, Blake, Janelle, Little Janelle. Let me explain who Little Janelle is real quick. So,
context for your other podcast.
And then, because when we first started the podcast, it was just me. It was me, Steve, Blake, Janelle, and it was our friend Vonnie too. And then somewhere in the middle of the pod, in the middle of like the first year doing the pod, Janelle got pregnant. So she had a daughter, and her daughter's name is Janelle, but it's like it doesn't have an E at the end. So it's Little Janelle. So yeah, and she's practically part of the podcast now. She be talking on the mic and shit. It's cute shit, man. Go listen to Sketch the Round.
Hell yeah.
I love them guys. Yeah, dude, that's practically it. It's like a cat. So I don't know.
Heck yeah. Deli, how about you? I know you did last month your big PBS Kids ranking video, right? That's a pretty big beast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to scroll.
What, you trying to not talk about that?
Well, I feel like it's not really relevant to anyone who listens to this podcast.
I feel like hey, when you said that, it was like turning the light on and all the roaches kind of just scatter all over the place.
Look, shit. We just talked about how Arthur curses. All right? We just talked about it.
We got to find you that episode, bro. I'm going to find it for you. We got to find you that episode.
Oh, man.
I am working on an Arthur AMV for the finale because it's coming up pretty soon.
Hell yeah.
It about to fucking end Arthur.
Yeah. End, it's like 3 weeks away. It fucking sucks.
Longest running fuck since 96, bro.
Yeah. Cyber Chase will be the next one. So it has.
Ain't Cyber Chase over with?
Nah, it's still going. They're since doing when? A new season right now, like this month.
When the fuck did they?
I didn't even know this until I did that video. So, anyway, what? Oh, right, yeah, AMV. I usually don't do January, so sometime this month I'll come back. It's Black History Month, so honestly, just support us, any of our friends. If it's more relevant to the subject podcast, working on a big Clarence retrospective, probably more in the vein of home movies.
Hell yeah.
And if you didn't know, Clarence is heavily inspired by home movies, so, you know, it might be of interest, you know.
I actually didn't know that, and I've only watched a little bit of Clarence. I did laugh at Clarence, but I just never really watched through it, so maybe I'll start giving it a watch. I definitely want to watch the Brendan Small cameo.
Yeah, Clarence fucking rules.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Also, probably talking about HBO's Animals later in the year. And the Adult Swim retrospective for the 21st anniversary this year.
It's like all of Adult Swim.
That's super relevant.
Yeah. It's fucking nuts. I've also, I don't know, this might be kind of on the spot. I don't think we've talked about this in the context of being podcast material. But I have been in early research to possibly do a moral oral retrospective.
Dude, that is okay. So that is one that I get requested all the time. I have only watched a few episodes of moral oral. People request me to do it all the time, and people request us to cover it on the pod.
Yeah, they're asking for it.
So
yeah,
you know, if we ever get to it on the pod, well, that would be a good opportunity to have you back.
No, I didn't know if you would, because I mean, for those who don't know, it gets a little dark later on.
I love dark shit, though. I mean, it gets dark in the beginning. The whole show is dark. I've heard it gets... The thing is I've watched 4 episodes and I've been like, this show's fucked up. And then people are like, yeah, it gets dark in season 3. And I'm like, what happens in season 3?
It's different layers of dark. It's easier to process when it's like in the context of like, haha, this fucking Christian kid is like smoking crack or whatever. But then it's like, oh, fuck, we can't hear this. So I know you wanted to do a video of it on your own, Johnny. So I don't, there are other people that would want to do it too. I know that, Adam from Your Movie Sucks has also talked about possibly doing one. So I've been kind of, but I mean, I know that if I did it, I'd blow it out of the water. Dude.
Yeah.
It's just going to be home movie prime. Shit. Yeah. It's going to be home movie prime.
I think you should do it, man. If you're inspired to do it, you should do it.
Yeah, man. Talk your shit, man. Yeah.
I do want to watch the show, and I do want to talk about the show at some point, because it feels like a show that it feels like a show there's stuff to talk about.
Is a lot to say.
Yeah.
I mean, if you like home movies, I mean, that might just be the next progression. You just got to be able to talk that shit. And if you're too traumatized by moral oral by the end, just go watch High School USA.
All right. Well, I think that's time to wrap it up. Deli, it's been so great having you on for these 4 episodes. Well, I guess 8 episodes audio-wise, but these 4, talking about these 4 seasons of home movies. And we're going to have you back. I'm really excited for the next time we have you on. And with that, I want to say thank you to Jake Neutron for our amazing theme song. Thank you to Carrie Feek for our incredible artwork. Thank you to Michael Yunez for producing, editing the podcast, and also doing the little hand thing and making us laugh while we record.
He's gonna make him do it.
He's gonna do it right now. And I want to thank Tariq for being my co-host every single time we do this. Deli, thank you again for being on for all 4 of these episodes. Being our guest has been really great having you. Thank you to everyone at home for listening to the podcast and supporting us. We really appreciate you. Couldn't do it without you. And with that, thank you very much, Bren.
Bow!